I'm excited. How about you? I just love Sunday mornings, getting together and worship and share God's word. Do you remember back, I guess it was probably the late 80s, early 90s, when WWJD was the big thing? What would Jesus do? It was on bumper stickers and license plate frames and keychains and t-shirts and jewelry and those rubber wristbands. I think everybody had one of those rubber wristbands, but what would Jesus do? And, you know, the whole point of it was in anything that we think, anything that we say, anything that we do, we should first stop and ask the question, what would Jesus do if he were in that situation? And the bigger point even is what are people seeing when they look at us? Are we still just like everybody else in the world, or are they seeing Christ in us? What would Jesus do? And the bottom line is, and that's the whole point of the message this morning, is that our testimony is important. What people see is critical. Open your Bibles, if you have one, and there's one in front of you in the seat, to Acts chapter 3. I always encourage you to have a Bible to follow along. I think that's when God can speak to us the best, when we look at his living word. But Acts chapter 3, and while you're turning there, I want to ask you a couple of questions. We've probably all heard sermons like Matthew 28:19, where it says, go out and make disciples of all nations, and Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. When you hear somebody say to you, you need to be out witnessing, you need to be out sharing the good news, how does it make you feel? Do you immediately get, you know, all tensed up and you think, well, I'm not a missionary. I can't do that. I'm not a good speaker. I don't know what to say. It's not my personality. I'm too shy. That's somebody else's responsibility. You know, let somebody else do that job. Or I'm just, bottom line, I'm too afraid. Are those the kind of thoughts that come to your mind? Well, how about this? After this morning's message, I promise you, you're going to be excited to go out and have a testimony for people. Follow along with me. Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from heaven. Catch those words. That's important. Expecting to receive something from them, but Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. That had to have been incredible to see that. But out of this small little story back in the first century, I see three principles or three lessons that we can pull out of that that should give each of us the ability to have the confidence to go out and share our testimony without fear. We're going to see three things. We're going to see that God is working in every one of our lives. God gives each of us a testimony, and God fills us with joy. So first, we're going to look at how God is working in our lives. You know, here we have a story of this man who's lame. We know that he's about 40 years of age. We see that in chapter 4, verse 22. And that he had been crippled from birth, chapter 3, verse 2. He earned his living by being carried to the temple every single day, where he would sit there and beg for alms, asking for money. And this particular day, Peter and John, of course, they're going to the temple as they would regularly do. They were going there to pray. And they stopped by this man and passed on to him something that was a life-changing experience. Now, it's interesting when you think about this story because there's a couple of things that come to my mind. First of all, since this lame man was coming to the temple every single day to beg for money, and we know that Peter and John would go there regularly to worship, surely they had seen him before. So why had they never stopped before that day to share with this young man, to share this great miracle of being able to walk? Why now? In fact, during Jesus' ministry, he would go to the temple on a regular basis, and while there, he would actually heal people. He would heal the lame. He would heal the blind. We see that in Matthew 21:14. So why didn't Jesus ever stop and heal this young man? I believe it was because God had been working in this man's heart, preparing him for this special day. God was working and getting him ready for this, and it wasn't until that particular moment that his heart was ready to receive Christ. We see God has been working in this man's life. And notice also in verse 5, it says that this man was expecting something from them. Now, the word expecting in the Greek has this idea of expecting or waiting for something in suspense. Okay, so now if you're just sitting there daily, every day, asking for money, you know, begging for money, it's like, you know, I get some, I do. If I don't get any, you know, it's just part of my daily routine. But here at this particular moment, he was expecting something with suspense. And why would this day be any different for him? Because he knew he was going to be receiving something far greater than just money. Notice also that he doesn't argue with Peter and Paul. Okay, they didn't give him money like he was accustomed to getting, but instead they offered him Christ, and without hesitation, he accepted Christ into his heart. God was at work in his life preparing him for that moment. Furthermore, and I like this, it says that Peter and John didn't have silver and gold. They didn't have money to pass on, but they had the power of God. When we go out and share, we don't need to have resources. We just need the power of God. Amen? And that's what Peter and Paul had. They had Peter and John, they had the power of God. They were able to reach out and encourage people because of that power. And that was the ministry of the early church. That should be the ministry of our church. So God was at work in this man's life, not only preparing him to receive the gospel, but also preparing Peter and John to share the gospel, not just with him, but with everybody there present. Verse 11 says, "And while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement, full of wonder or curiosity. They were prime for hearing the good news," we're told. And then in verses 12 and following, we see where Peter and John. So God was at work in this lame man's life. God was at work in Peter and John's life. God was even at work in all of these people present in their lives. And God is at work in our lives as well. Philippians 2:13, it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So I would ask you, how is God working in your life? What testimony do you have to share? What is God doing? You know, God might just be using you to simply plant a seed in someone's life that somebody else can come along and water and see it grow. But God is using each and every one of us, and he's preparing each and every one of us. He's working in our lives. And that brings us to the second point. God does give each one of us a testimony. You know, when friends are watching you, when coworkers are watching you, your family are watching, your neighbors, what is it that they're seeing? What do they see in your life? You know, in the case of this crippled man, you know, think about the Jewish beliefs at that time. Those entering the temple would have seen him, and they would have thought, this man's a sinner. Remember the story of the blind man back in John chapter 9? The Jews thought that because of physical handicaps, that it was a result of sin. And in the case of this particular blind man, the disciples even asked Jesus, who is it that sinned that he was blind? John 9, 1 through 3 tells us that as he, Jesus, passed by, he saw a blind man who had been blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? And Jesus answered, verse 3, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. God was working even in that man's life. So whatever your situation, God is working in your life, and we see even in that life, he had a testimony. This lame man had an amazing testimony. You know, the Jews at the temple, they would have been very familiar with Isaiah chapter 35. It says, verse 5, the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, then the lame will leap like a deer, the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy. Why? Verse 2 says, so that they will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. And that's why God's working in our life. So when people saw this lame man get up and start leaping and shouting for joy, they knew why. And it says they wanted to hear more. They wanted to know why. They wanted to know more. And so again, I ask you, when people see your life, what are they seeing? Are they asking, I want to hear more? Imagine with just a moment for me, put your feet in this lame man's shoes. Okay, pretend you're there in that situation and you're there in his circumstances. So for 40 years, just out of humility, you've been begging for money. And that's just your situation. You've kind of learned to live with it. You don't like it, but every day that's your routine. You just beg for money. And then all of a sudden, you're healed. What are you going to do? Well, you know, many of us might have just kind of quietly slipped away and gone home. I mean, think about it for a moment. For all these years that he's been doing this, he's probably been teased. He's been poked fun at. Some probably even went as far as to say, go out there and get a real job. We've probably been guilty of that ourselves. You know, you see somebody that's unfortunate, whatever their situations. You know, this lame man, go get a job that you can do without having to walk. You know, there might have been some who thought he was just faking it. And so suddenly you're healed. What do you do? Well, I'm just going to quietly slip away and go home. But it says instead of slipping away, he jumped for joy and he entered the temple where everybody could see him. And it doesn't say that he just kind of hid out in the crowd. He was right there up front, hooping and hollering it up. Everybody could see him, it tells us in the text. He had a testimony, and he was sharing with everybody that he knew. And that's where I want to encourage you this morning. You know, I think so many Christians have this wrong idea of what witnessing is. I was talking to Pastor Dale about it, and he goes, yeah, they have this idea of wearing a white shirt and a tie and going to the door and knocking, you know, and you know what I'm talking about. And immediately you get this fear like, not me. I'm not going to do that. That's just not what I'm capable of doing. There's even some who say, no, you've got to sacrifice everything. Sell it all, move to another country, and do whatever it takes, even being a martyr if necessary, to share the Lord. There may be some who are called to do that. God truly does call individuals to go and be missionaries, but I don't believe that's what God has for most believers. This lame man, it doesn't tell us that he went in there and got up on a soapbox and started preaching. It just simply, he says he went in there excited, letting people see what God was doing in his life. And the Lord wants you to share what he's doing in your life. It's that simple. Are you seeing a pattern here of how God works? First, he does something great in your life, and then he lets people see what he's doing in your life, and then they come and ask for more. They want to find out, what are you getting this? And that's the pattern. God will do a work in your life. He's doing something now in your life. But people need to be seeing what he's doing. Does your life truly reflect that there's a change? And people will see that, and then they're going to ask you, why are you different? What is that that's going on in your life? 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. And that means basically to live out your life with a Christ-like testimony. But then Peter goes on to say, always being ready to make a defense or to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. So he tells us, let the Lord work in your life. Live out that Christ-like life. And then as people see that, be ready to tell them why. What's different about it? What's God doing? We have a testimony first, and then we have an explanation for it. And that's something that every one of us can do. All of us. God's doing something in our lives, and we can tell people what God's doing. It's that simple. So what's God doing in your life? What is he changing? What's he working on? What's he doing in your life? How are you different? What testimony are people around you seeing? You know, the statistics say that 95% of Christians have never led anybody to Christ. It just boggles my mind. But could you imagine what would be what those statistics would be if every single Christian just shared what God was doing in their life? People would want to know why. Why are you different? God is working in our lives, and each of us have a testimony to share. The last thing that I want to share with us is that God has given each of us a thankful heart. Our heart should be full of joy. Like this lame man who was leaping and praising God, he was full of joy. He was thankful. I'm reminded of James 1, 2, and 3. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, even when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. We can outwardly express thankfulness to God by praising him, just as this lame man did. Webster's Dictionary defines praise as a response to God's greatness and perfect attributes. And I like this, as a As a synonym for praise, it gives worship. Would you think of that? Praise, worship being the same thing? Years ago in Bible college, I had a music professor, and I used to really enjoy talking with him, but he used to define worship this way. Worship is where believers center their mind's attention and their heart's affection on God, humbly glorifying him in response to his greatness and his word. That's worship. That's what it's all about. Our mind's attention is focusing on that that we know to be true. The truths that we know about God, we center our mind's attention on that. And then our heart's affection is living out that that we know to be true. You know, the Bible tells us that what dwells in our heart is what's going to come out in our life, what's going to come out in our mouth. And people can truly see what's in our heart, can't they? What is our testimony? You know, when we worship on Sunday mornings, it's always exciting, just like it was this morning. And when we do so, we're focusing our mind's attention on the truths that we know, and we sing out of our hearts those truths, and we give praise, we give thanks to God, and it's a great and wonderful time. But you know, the worship doesn't just stop there. When we leave this morning and we go home, worship continues. It's a 24/7 thing. Every day should be full of worship. Every moment should be full of worship. That should be our heart every day. You know, it's interesting, in the Greek there's two different words for praise. One word means that praise is expected. It's where believers are commanded to praise God out of obligation, and it has no dependence on how you feel or mood or any of that or circumstances. But the other word carries the idea of a spontaneous response or reaction, and it does depend on mood, feeling, and circumstances. You're expressing how you feel. And that's the Greek word that's used here in Acts chapter 3. This lame man was responding out of emotion. What God was doing, he was excited about it. And he was sharing that with the people around him. You know, for you and me, it could be an attitude of praise. You know, we acknowledge what God's doing in our life. We thank him for our circumstances. It might even be bad circumstances, but we still thank God. It's the kind of attitude that we have. It could be a testimony of praise. You know, as we saw with this lame man, it means sharing with those around us what God is doing in our lives. It could be a sacrifice of praise. That means, how are you living your life out? How is your life illustrating what God's doing? You know, as I said, it's a 24/7 thing. We should be doing it all the time. Do you remember back when, I guess it was around 2001, something like that, when the Diamondbacks won the World Series? Maybe you don't even care, but anyway, I'm going to share this anyway. Diamondbacks won the World Series, and it was really pretty exciting to watch this game. It was the last game of this series. They had played it all the way through. It was the last inning of the game. Diamondbacks were down. They had two outs against them. Pretty much looked like they were down and out, and that was the end of it. Until Luis Gonzalez got up, and he hit a soft single and drove Jay Bell in, and they won the World Series. It was a pretty exciting time. So what did we do? Did we just sit there and, they won? I don't think so. Most people were jumping and screaming and hollering, and their neighbors could hear them, and everybody, they knew something was going on because they were exciting. Just like this lame man, God had done something dramatic in his life, and he was excited, and he was letting everybody know about it. Ladies, have you ever received a piece of jewelry that was really, really special to you? What did you do? Did you kind of quietly go stick it in your jewelry box, and that was the end of it, and forget about it? Or did you make sure everybody saw it? And did you thank the person that gave it to you? Because you were excited about it. You wanted people to see it and to know about it. You know, guys, you know, you get that big promotion at work. What do you do? You just, you know, go on living your life, or you let people know and thank your boss for that? You know, how do we express emotion and excitement? And what do we do about that? What do you do when God does things in your life? Are you sharing that? Are people seeing that happening in your life? Or do we just quietly pretend like nothing's happening, like God's doing nothing? We should be excited. People should be seeing what God's doing. We should be letting people know what God's doing. Here's some practical ways that we can praise God. First and foremost, give thanks. Be thankful. Give the Lord thanks. Thank him for his blessings, for what he's doing. Thank him for what he's not doing. Sometimes maybe better to thank him for what he's not doing. But just be thankful. Thank God. Acknowledge that God is the one that's sovereign. He's the one that's got it under control. He's the one that's working in your life. And just thank him for that. Secondly, we can praise God for the things that he's blessed us with. You know, that's important. God has blessed us all with life. Are we thankful for that life? So if you're thankful, how can you express that thanks? Perhaps by the way you treat your life? You know, the things, and my daughter's going to be glaring at me here in a minute, what you eat and what you put into your bodies and how you take care of your health. I'll tell you, when it comes to healthy, she's like the extreme. I would starve to death. But anyway, what we put into our bodies is a way of just expressing thanks to God for the life he's given us. We can do that. God's blessed us materially. You know, what do we do with the material blessings that he's given us? Are we good stewards with it? You know, the money that he gives us, are we good stewards with that? The things that he's given us, are we taking care of them? You know, that's the way we can show God our thankfulness. Are we giving back to God? You know, through our tithing, are we expressing thanks to God by giving him back some of what he's given us? You know, that's an awesome way to show praise and thanks to God, by just giving to him and to what he's doing. God's blessed us with relationships. I just simply say, treat others the way you'd want them to treat you. Treat others the way Christ treats people. And by that, we can bless God and show thanks by that. We can praise God by simply asking the question, what would Jesus do? What is he doing? What would he be doing? Let me ask you, have you ever had a bad day? Yeah, you laugh. There's a story I want to share with you. Maybe you've heard this story. It's an old story, been around for a long time. But every time I think of a bad day, this story comes to my mind. I tell you, it's like the ultimate of bad days. And if you've heard it, just enjoy it with me, okay? But this guy got hurt on the job, and so he wrote this letter to his employer requesting time off. And this is the letter he wrote. He says, when I got to the building, I noticed that the hurricane had knocked some bricks off around the top. So I rigged up a beam with a pulley at the top of the building and hoisted a couple barrels full of bricks. And when I had fixed the damage area, there were a lot of bricks left over. So then I went to the bottom and began releasing the line. Unfortunately, the barrel of bricks was still much heavier than me. And before I knew what was happening, the barrel started coming down, jerking me up. I decided to hang on since I was too far off the ground by then to jump. And halfway up, I met the barrel of bricks coming down fast. I received a hard blow on my shoulder. I then continued to the top, banging my head against the beam, getting my fingers pinched and jammed in the pulley. And when the barrel hit the ground hard, it burst its bottom, allowing the bricks to spill out. Yeah, you know what's coming next. And now I was much heavier than the barrel. So I started coming down high speed, and halfway down I met the barrel coming back up fast and received severe injuries to my shins. Well, when I hit the ground, I landed on the pile of spilled bricks, getting several more painful cuts and deep bruises. And at this point, I must have lost my presence of mind because I let go of my grip on the line. The barrel came down fast, giving me another blow on my head and putting me in the hospital. I respectfully request sick leave. That is a bad day. Now, I'm sure all of us this morning have probably had our bad day, and we could all share our stories. But you know, Joseph, he had a bad day. He was betrayed by his brothers, ended up in prison, was forgotten for a couple of years. And yet Genesis 50:20 says that as for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. So even in his bad day, he still saw God was sovereign. God had it under control. Joseph kept his testimony pure. The Apostle Paul, he had some bad days. He was put in prison by Felix just to appease the Jews. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he's speaking in the third person. He says he had been in prison, he had been flogged, he had been exposed to death again and again. 5 times he received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times he was beaten with rods. 1 he was stoned. 3 times he was shipwrecked, spent a night and a day in the open sea, constantly on the move. He had been danger from the rivers, dangers from bandits, danger from his own countrymen, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, in the country, at the sea, danger in false brothers. He had labored and toiled and had often gone without sleep. He had known hunger and thirst and had gone without food and had been cold and naked. Paul knew what it was like to have bad days. But he concluded by saying, "The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever." The Apostle Paul still praised God. He still acknowledged who was sovereign, who was in control of his life, and he gave thanks for it. So I would encourage you this morning, you have a testimony. God's working in your life. Live it out. Let people see it. Let people experience what God's doing in your life, and then they'll come and ask you, how can I have that? How can I have what you have? That is true witnessing. You know, God does things in our lives. People are watching us, especially as Christians. You can be sure people are watching you. They want to see, how are you any different than other people? And if they see that you're different, they're going to ask you, how can I have that? Why are you different? Your testimony is important. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we are just so thankful for your word and the encouragement that it gives us. But even at times like this when it challenges us, we see the awesome thing that you did in this lame man's life. But you're doing the same kinds of things in our life. All of us have a testimony of you working. And Father, I just pray the Holy Spirit would just work through us and that we would be a light in this dark world. May people around us see a difference. May people around us see what you're doing. And I pray, God, that through that they would ask the question, how can I have that? So I just ask you, Father, to encourage each one here this morning to be the kind of testimony that you've called them. And we'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.